this is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Wow, what is that? All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl English Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Hey, good morning, Mr. Connor. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right.
All right. You want to introduce Connor to the listening audience? A young man who's been a part of, you know, station WAUK for 540 AM WAUK for what? How long you been on board, man?
It's been about like about 4 weeks now.
Yeah. Is that all? I thought it was when it was really cold outside.
I mean, it probably has been longer. It's just been... I haven't done a lot of shows yet, so.
Yeah, well, you listen, man, you got a great voice.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you really do, man, and you got a great future in radio.
Yeah, I've loved radio ever since I was a kid, so.
Yeah.
And I listen to mostly podcasts now, but I don't know. I love audio, so.
Well, you know, Sam has finally gotten a few well-deserved days off.
Yeah, finally.
And it's good to have you on board, man. Tell us a little bit about Connor.
Well, I do music. I'm a musician. I produce, I sing, I rap.
Well, what instrument do you play?
I play piano.
Okay.
So I made one. But mostly like music production and mixing. It's why I do the board stuff, because this is like, I know this stuff like the back of my head, you know. I love it. Yeah, and I've been doing that since I was a kid. And, yeah.
Well, you're not much more than a kid now.
That's true. That's true. I got so many more things left to learn.
No, man. Listen, man. Congratulations. Welcome on board. And I'm glad to have you in today.
Yeah, thank you.
In the next few days. Mm-hmm. But anyway, got a lot to talk about, you know, an awful lot to talk about, as always. But, you know, I want to do a little bit different show today than I normally do, because, you know, sometimes we get drunk with constantly talking about all the other political things that are going on. And listen, it's not like we're not going to talk about those things and deal with those things, but we're going to deal with a lot of different humanistic kinds of stories and situations this morning. You know, again, we're gonna do the political stuff too, because if I didn't do the political stuff, I don't know if we'd have any listeners. But I want to begin with a horrible story. In Milwaukee, on yesterday, and it's an all too familiar story that occurs all over the nation when it gets warm, and. And that's, you know, the drowning of people, right? I mean, you know, you never know. I, you know, there are people who are so confident in their ability to swim. You got to be a great swimmer, right, Connor? You're a great swimmer? Can you swim? Not really, no.
I mean, actually, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I used to swim a lot when I was in Chicago, and I would go and... do laps, because yeah. At a fitness club I used to work at, so I got a lot better like in a very short period of time.
Well, swimming is something that I'm not a great swimmer. As a matter of fact, I don't swim at all, and it is because I've had a fear of water ever since let me clarify that. A fear of swimming in water.
Okay.
You know,
I was gonna
because
I mean, how do you take a shower?
Because you know, you have to clarify those things. But I have this fear of water, and it goes back to a time, man, when I was, I don't know, maybe 10, 11 years old, and I went to a camp, a summer camp, a local church that my family was involved in. We would go to different camps, and this camp I went to was in Cedar Lake, and I didn't know anything about swimming. And so somehow we found ourselves in rowboats, and so I'm out in the water. We had on life jackets, and so I'm in the water with the guys, and so we're in this rowboat, and things are a little slow for me, you know. I was bored with the rowboat. And I saw some other guys in the canoe come by, right? And they were just, you know, looked like they were having a lot of fun, man, you know, paddling and all those things. And I said, hey, wait a minute, I want to go in the canoe, right? So then they pull over to let me get in the canoe, and the canoe gets somehow turned over. and I don't know anything about water and swimming and those kinds of things.
Oh, Lord.
And so I panicked, and I'll never forget it. And I didn't know that the life preserver, I'm thinking that the life preserver is going to keep me waist up over the water. And I remember like yesterday, and that's 56, 57 years ago. And it frightened me because I thought I was going to drown.
Yeah.
And so that by itself was something that kept me away. And then when I got to high school, we had swimming, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the high school I went to, the swimming pool, the deepest part of the swimming pool was 5.5 feet or 6 feet or something.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Well, but I'm saying that you don't learn to swim.
Oh, yeah. No.
And 5.5, the deepest part of the swimming pool is 5.5 feet.
Yeah.
So from that point, you know, I've gone, and over the years, spending time at the Y, you know, in a pool that's the deepest part is 5.5 feet. They had another pool. But just the fear of water, and there's so many people who have those fears. But I wanted to talk, and I brought that up because a horrible incident happened on yesterday in Milwaukee, where a 10-year-old boy chased a ball into a kind of like a ravine, you know, and he just, you know, disappeared, and his father, you know, did what fathers do and chased his son into the ravine. And then a good friend of the family saw both of them struggling. He jumped in, and needless to say, all three of them drowned. And you know, this time of year, And I didn't look up the numbers, but so many people drown in lakes and rivers and other places because they're confident that they can handle, you know, the water. And that they are great swimmers. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'm just curious, you know, those of you who are listening, how good a swimmer are you, you know? And are you similar to me, you know, even at this point in my life, you know, afraid? There are not many things I'm afraid of, but water is one of them. Because if I can't put my feet firmly on the ground and have my head above the water, I ain't getting in. You know, come on. I'm just not. But the fact that this tragedy occur, there's a couple different ways to look at it, you know, to know and to love someone so much that you basically sacrifice your life, which is what the father did for his son, jumping into that water and to save his son. A heroic thing. And then the family friend who followed the two of them in hopes that he could save them, didn't give his own life a second thought. Neither did the dad. But those kinds of things kind of show the goodness of people, right? Of the spirit of being human. And doing that kind of thing, heroic thing, giving your life for someone else, no greater gift can a man do than to lay down his life for his fellow man. And that's exactly what took place. But this will be played out over and over again throughout these warm days and summer months. And so it's a story that I just wanted to make sure you guys got to hear. Our phone lines open as always at 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts? Got a lot to talk about this morning. Young Connor is on the board. I'm glad he is. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Here's another story that I want to talk about, and it is the fact that a woman who has been living in a neighborhood for the better part of 30 years has had a strip club move right across the street from her, and she's a homeowner, and she wants the strip club closed down because she says, well, I don't have to tell you. Your imagination can tell you what happens around a strip club, that's open to 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, if you are not aware of things that go on around a strip club, heaven help you, you know. So the strip club has opened up recently and, I guess it's doing pretty good business. It's called Gold Diggers. And you can imagine, well, I mean, I'm not going to say that because some of my listeners may be strip club frequenters. But, you know.
Straight ad.
you know, I mean, the kind of people that basically are going to strip clubs, you know, to 2 o'clock in the morning aren't exactly, you know, the kind of person who's going to be getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to get to work. And you may say I'm stereotyping, but again, that 2 o'clock in the morning on weekdays or weeknights, that you can pretty well pigeonhole what kind of people they're going to be who are there. And so they come and they got their cars with the stereos making a lot of noise early in the morning. These are people who basically are transient because they don't live in the neighborhood. This mother who's been around all those years does live in the neighborhood, has lived in the neighborhood for a number of years. The strip club is what came and invaded their neighborhood. And so, you know, it's a business. So businesses kind of get a free hand sometimes when they move into different communities. And so all of this confusion and noise and people urinating outside and fights and all of those things and that come along with that kind of a business. And this woman has been working really hard to try to get them shut down. And the owner says she's trying to get him shut down because she just does not like strip clubs and thinks that's the wrong kind of business for the neighborhood. And so this battle has been going on. And she admits that she doesn't support that kind of, you know, lifestyle. So who's right in this? Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Look, if somebody tried to open a strip club across the street from where I live, I would raise all kind of hell, and there would not be any peace. Now, there's people who might say, well, all she has to do is move. But my point is, why should she move? She's been there for almost 30 years. These people came into the community, and really, that's on the alderperson who said it's okay, and clearly that community is licensed, that apparently it's okay to have a strip club in the neighborhood. But I think that, you know, even if it's licensed, the people in the neighborhood have a right to complain about it. You know, I mean, and the fact that they've been there that many years doesn't mean that they should be run out of their neighborhood and their community because somebody wants to bring that kind of a business into the community, even though it's licensed for that. But clearly what is taking place is one of those situations where, you know, business gets an upper hand over the community. And another part of this that I don't understand is, yeah, business is going to be paying licensing fees and property taxes in order to maintain their facility, but so do the people who live in the neighborhood who own properties. They've got to pay taxes. So I just think that this is one of those situations where I would not want to be the alder person who's there, because he or she is in a no-win situation. The community needs businesses, and maybe that's kind of like the only kind of business that they can bring in. And so, you know, you can't regulate every single thing that occurs. You can't stop people. Not enough police to police people playing their music loud, you know, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And so this woman is making this argument, rightfully so, that it's been a major problem with her. And, you know, there are other people who wind up experiencing these types of situations. And I just thought it was something that I just wanted to begin to show early on, because it's certainly worth having a discussion about. You know, it's, you know, money has its place. But man, there's nothing like having peace and tranquility in your neighborhood and in your community. And it's something's going to have to give. Either this woman is going to be forced to, you know, leave her neighborhood, leave her home, or this business, as the guy is saying, he's invested money in security, he's invested money in all these different things to try to be friendly to the neighborhood and to the community. And that goes a long way for aldermen and others who say, well, he's a businessman. And regardless of what type of business it is, he's a businessman and he's attempting to do the right thing to make this an acceptable partnership between the neighborhood and, you know, and the business. I know that before you even get a chance to open a business like that in the community, the community gets a chance to sit down with the licensing committee of the city and give their druthers on whether or not they think this is a good idea. So, you know, if the community didn't show up during the time of the licensing, I don't know if there's much she can do about it. Listen, got to go to a break. When we come back, got a lot more to talk about. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin. We target federal and state elections, think Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany, and concentrate on a fair redistricting process. Give a donation now if you're able at the ManaquaBrewingCompany.com Super PAC tab. Help us make the politics of the Northwoods as clean as our lakes and streams. That's the ManaquaBrewingCompany.com Super PAC tab.
Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. I'm Sam Butson with your headlines. Crews recovered the body of a 10-year-old child who drowned after he was swept away in high waters following Monday's rainstorms in Milwaukee. A search for two men who went in to try and save him is ongoing. Police said the victims were connected but did not release the names or details on their relationship. Crews searched for several hours Monday night, then called off the search due to dark and hazardous conditions. On Tuesday, dive teams searched the path of the drainage pipes that flowed into Milwaukee's Kinnickinnick River. It appeared to be an unfortunate accident. Partly cloudy skies early in the forecast today with up to an 80% chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon and an expected high of 92 degrees. Some storms may be severe with winds up to 25 miles per hour and an overnight low of 63 degrees. There's a heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. tonight. You're listening to The Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, I want to educate some members of our listening audience. You know, people say that I'm anti-American. And that I somehow don't believe in America. But let me tell you what I don't believe in. I don't believe in the fact that we don't tell the truth to the American people. That we don't seek it. We don't seek out the truth as Americans. And so, you know, we'll buy anything. Because it's easier for us to just listen to what people say than to do any research on our own. So what am I talking about? You know, I constantly talk about our budget. I talk about our military budget. I talk about the amount of money that we spend in this country. The fact that we only make up 4% of the global population of the entire world. 4%. That's all Americans make up of the entire world is 4%. So with that meager sum of the population, 4%, 96% other than Americans make up the rest of the world. Then explain this to me, those of you who say I'm anti-American. So last year, the world's top nine nuclear armed states, the United States, Russia, Britain, France, China, India, Pakistan, Israel, and North Korea, spent $82.4 billion collectively on their nuclear arsenals. Again, all those top nine nations spent $82.4 billion on their nuclear weapons. So guess who spent the most? Now, we make up 4% of the global population. The United States spent $44.2 billion of the $82 billion that have been spent, that was spent last year on their nuclear arsenals. We make up 4% of the population, and yet over 50% of the money spent on nuclear arsenals last year was spent by the 4% of the population of the world. So try to wrap your arms around that, or your mind around that. We don't want Iran to have any nuclear weapons. So we argue, we fight, I get calls. Well, you know, under Joe Biden, Iran is trying to get a nuclear weapon. How do you reconcile that? You want to debate and argue about saying that another nation can't have any, and we spent more than all the rest of the world combined on our nuclear weapons last year. $44.2 billion. Now, I constantly hear people griping and arguing in this country about China. Well, we got to watch China. China's going to be this, and China is one is nuclear power, and we got to be concerned about China and all those things. You know how much China spent on its nuclear arsenal last year? $11.7 billion. With all of those people that they have in China, 1.3 billion people. The United States has 325 or so million people. And they only spent $11.7 billion. Wake up, America. And understand how the rest of the world sees us, the minority of the world. That's who we are. But yet, we are so arrogant with the rest of the world and our leaders that we do this kind of thing and then tell other nations what they can't do. Wonder why people don't like America. Because we just aren't aware of these numbers. Russia last year spent $8.6 billion on their nuclear arsenal. We spent $44.2. Now, here's the other side of this. When you talk about, what's really going on here? Why do we continue? I think those who are in power understand. Again, they know that we only make up 4% of the global population. They know that, and so they're going to make sure that nobody is ever going to threaten the United States of America. No matter how big they are, because they know that we are going to always be the ones with the biggest stick. we're going to always be able to threaten other nations with annihilation. Don't fool yourself. All those weapons and nuclear bombs that we are upgrading, it's for one reason: deterrent. And to let you know who we are and our standing in the world. Never mind 4% of the global population. We're going to make it clear to the rest of the world the power that we have. You know, when I look at those numbers, I get a little angry. Because why? We don't need that. You know, there was a time that the SALT treaties came into play. Cooler heads prevailed in the world where, you know, former leaders of the world came together and said, hey, this is insanity. We have to cut back on these weapons of mass destruction because at the end of it is the destruction of the world. Well, the destruction of the peoples of the world. Yeah, they're not going to be able to destroy the world, but they'll be able to destroy the peoples of the world. Our phone line's open, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Got some more for you on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. My brother sitting me right down and he talked to me. Oh, he told me that I ought not to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well. Yeah, but when I talk was through, I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show and a great selection of music this morning. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to kind of finish up my rant on what is happening, and we as American people aren't aware of it. And I think we should be aware of it. And I think it does matter. You know, when we talk about all the things that go on in the world, this matters mightily when you look at these sheer numbers. And it just makes you wonder why, you know, we have to continue to do this. When is enough enough, right? You know, the United States has 5,428 nuclear weapons. 5,428. And many of them with multiple nuclear heads. You know, those of us who, back when we were younger, remember the threats of nuclear annihilation, reading about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and those prehistoric weapons that did that horrible, horrific damage, that even to this day in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, cause radiation sickness and death. After, you know, so many decades ago. And then you look at the fact again that we have 5,428 nuclear weapons. Now, we constantly gripe about China That's all you hear is China and what the Chinese are doing, and they're our enemy, and we gotta make sure that we stay ahead of them, and then we're fearful of China. China has 350 nuclear weapons. I mean, just nonsense. When you hear people talking about China and how China's a threat to America. Don't forget, we've got 5,428 nuclear weapons, updated, all of them. China has 350. So why are we worrying about the threat from China? If I'm Chinese, I'm worried about the threat from America, sheer numbers. By what I'm looking at. You know, we just have to, face facts. We need to be aware of what is happening in our country, those who lead it. We get caught up in so many things that don't matter, really, in life. The things that we should know, the things that are critically important to our survival and our children's survival. We don't pay attention to. No focus on that. But I mean, you should know these numbers. And you should know when people say what we can't afford. You know, yesterday, I think it was Bill from Oconomowoc, who I had a conversation with about whether or not the United States could afford, you know, to help Ukraine. And keep arming Ukraine and keep spending money there. And we talked about the fact that we spend the amount of money that we spend on weapons and you know, ignore what the people need. And this is part of that. You know, you can't say, yeah, that's okay, that we keep spending that kind of weapons, money on armaments like nuclear weapons, and then say we can't afford to help people in this country. You know? I mean, you can say that, but the pushback on it clearly would prove that the people who are on the other side of that and saying what we can't afford really aren't ill-informed. You know, if they were informed, then they would agree. Well, if we continue at such a rate that we are going at, then unless somebody's willing to say, hey, whoa, hold it, stop-o, as Archie Bunker would say, stop-o, then this is never going to end. But the American people have to first be informed. Makes little or no sense to me. And until we make our voices heard, this kind of foolishness is going to continue. And as Dr. King once said, you know, if misguided men, because they don't see humanity, lead to misguided missiles. And that's where we are. So, Connor, who do we have on the line?
We got a Tom. Tom.
All right, Tom, how you doing, man?
Morning. Nice to hear Connor's voice, and welcome to the team, Connor.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, man, did you hear those numbers, man?
Well, yeah, first off, we the people are supposed to be the government. So I'll say it that way today. What, you know, that's just the nuclear part.
Yeah, I know.
We're not even talking about the military industrial complex as a whole. So, I mean, either you get blown up once by a nuclear warhead or whatever, or you, have a life every single day, which is just crap because you don't have any type of, money coming back to we the people. We're the ones that pay for this stuff. We're the ones that pay for it with our taxes. That's why I have proposed on every paycheck that it shows exactly where our money is going. Because I'll tell you what, you get $1.60 back and a return on investment from food stamps, you don't get anything back from nuclear warheads. What are you getting? All you're doing is enriching the
military industrial complex, right?
Right. So it doesn't make any sense. But I think that if it was on people's paychecks every week, you know, kind of a graph of where all their money's going that they're paying into the federal government, maybe that would be something that would make people start to think about.
So Tom, listen to this: the United States tested 67 nuclear bombs in their country. Now they're dying in Oklahoma. After military experiments devastated their homeland, Marshall Islands residents were permitted to immigrate to the U.S. They didn't know their American dream came with a catch. We have continued this nuclear testing. Where else are they going to test nuclear weapons other than on our homeland, right?
So they're doing this in Oklahoma?
Yeah, this was in Oklahoma.
People that talk about pipelines. Come on. Drink oil.
No, man. So
Earl, let me ask you a question. If you drink oil, will that help you survive?
Oh man, come on. It just goes to show the absurdness of many of our countrymen because they don't understand, you know, the importance of life and how easily it can be taken away.
And it's so easy, Earl. All it is they want to privatize everything so they can make a profit. They pay off the politician. Politician goes with the private corporation because we have money in politics because of Citizens United and Buckley versus Vallejo and First National Bank versus Bilotti. And there you go. We got what we have. Corporations are people. They have free speech, and therefore they can give unlimited money to politicians. I mean, it's not real hard. All you gotta do is follow the money, but now we can't even follow the money because of the no disclosure. So I mean, the bottom line is, people, wake up. You are paying so much money on your taxes. All you people that complain about taxes, look and see where the money's going.
You know, man,
it's not coming back to you.
You know, man, I know that this bothers Americans because they believe and trust so much in the government, and you know, the government needs to earn the trust, right? You
right.
Shouldn't just give, because the government are people, okay?
Earl,
they're not institutions.
Exactly.
They're individuals who are in institutions.
Exactly. We, the people, are supposed to be the government. But the thing is, right now, just like in Wisconsin, when they had the uprising, all those people did was wait it out because they knew that their contributions were coming in. So therefore, we are feckless. If they actually were to change the laws in terms of getting money completely out of politics, getting lobbyists out of politics, I'll tell you what, you would have them, the people, would actually, their voice would mean something. And maybe that would give them the positive reinforcement to keep on fighting, to get things for themselves.
Hey, Tom,
it just doesn't make sense.
Thank you as always, man. Thank you as always. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.